maybe we also need to start looking at the, and I know we've done this in many cities, the ability to have multiple living units on a single family lot in terms of allowing a senior citizen to live in the same, on the same property and avoid the nursing homes. And we've all read what happened to nursing homes at the very beginning of the COVID experience.
Yeah.
You know, relaxed building codes to allow temporary homeless shelters. Maybe we can be looking at those kinds of issues. Provide the ability to swiftly construct short-term medical facilities also. I think that some cities ran into those issues. Rethink modular buildings and pre-manufactured homes or buildings so that we can respond quicker on a during an emergency. I think a couple other things that we have seen both in the short term and the long term is taking a look at buildings that are underutilized. How can we reuse them? How can we adapt them to other types of uses? Whether it's taking a hotel and making it residential, or taking an office and making it residential, or a vertical mixed use. I think we should also look at public-private partnerships between local governments and the lodging industry. In the event this happens again, we can mobilize and provide housing for those who need housing. On the legal front, there are several things. Again, I'll go back to next slide, please, Barry.
Actually, that's your last slide.
Was it okay? Let's go back. I'm sorry. Let's stay at the last slide. Zoning regulations, again, it's important that they be flexible. The cities need to be able to respond to what's happening out there in order to provide responses to people who are trying to, again, create businesses and better themselves in those during the epidemics. You know, maybe we look at, there's a suggestion of doing more administrative approvals, of course, within the appropriate parameters. That would probably be helpful as well. Incentivize the reuse of buildings to avoid blight and encourage economic growth. Again, I talked about the hotel experiences that some hotels are being converted into residential. Of course, we've got a lot of vacant retail and malls out there that also need to be looked at.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, revise home occupation regulations if they're too restrictive. Another thing is let's look at the parking requirements, especially if more of us are going to be working from home and not needing as much parking in large office buildings. What goes hand in hand with that is how do you convert some of the existing parking garages into usable spaces? So that's another zoning recommendation. Create more open space and outdoor seating. Barry's going to get into that a little bit more, but I think we're seeing more of that. Allow the temporary use of parking lots for other types of uses. Again, we're seeing some what I would call definitions that might have popped up. They've been around for a while, but I think we're starting to see they're being focused on more so like parklets, where you're taking a part of a on-site or on-street parking bay, let's say parallel parking, and turning it into a dining area for an adjacent restaurant. Micro fulfillment centers, you know, it was announced Kroger the other day started a program where they're going to be launching micro fulfillment centers throughout various metropolitan areas to provide delivery services. You know, we all know the Amazon experience pretty all too well, but more and more of these types of businesses are going to be providing that. Another use that I'm seeing more and more these days is the single family rental development, which again is technically a multifamily development, but consists of cottages all within a one platted lot that provides, again, an environment that's similar to a single family development. And some folks are looking at avoiding the multifamily complexes in favor of these single family rental developments. So again, the jury's still out on what the effect of COVID is, But these are some of the things that we've been seeing lately. There's been some legislation proposed this session having to do with COVID, and much of it has to deal with liability issues and designating non-liability in certain situations. Some of it has to deal with payment of taxes in the event that a tenant has not been able to pay rent. One of the more significant ones is the relaxing of the standards for or the open meetings, allowing video and other types of virtual hearings to continue. And the final comment I wanted to make has to deal with contracts and something that we've run into, and I'm sure you all have run into, and it probably is great advice to look at your force majeure sections in your agreements. And does your force majeure cover the pandemic? It probably does. It may not, but I think it's worth looking at it. But also, in many agreements, especially the economic development agreements, they may be contingent on a third party performing. And do those contracts